Blog Talk Radio.
The Monday through Friday. Well, you know, I'm in the car business, so mine actually includes Saturday. I get one day off a week. That's you know, a lot of people get Saturdays and Sundays off. In the car business, you only get one day off, and so I enjoy my one day off. And but I tell you, I'm glad to be back in the saddle. We got a lot that happened over the past few days, and it's really got us thinking, got me thinking anyway, about how important it is that we understand what our rights are, because they seem to be under attack from all angles. So tonight's program, I'm really excited to have Frank Flores back on. Frank is a businessman here in Texas, and he's also a constitutionalist. He's done a lot of reading, a lot of studying, lots of meditation and thought into the Constitution, the purpose and intent, and how we as Americans need to know what our rights are. So glad to have you on again, Frank.
Thank you, Duke. It's good to be on.
So you were talking about your desire to talk about the First Amendment. Last week, I guess it was on Friday, I talked about the Second Amendment, and that was because of the shootings that took place in Oregon. You know, you said you want to talk about the First Amendment today, so I'm going to basically turn the floor over to you and let you talk to the listeners a little bit about, you know, what your perspective is on the First Amendment.
All righty. Thank you, Duke. You know, a few months ago I was watching television, and there was an incident somewhere, and somebody mentioned something about hate speech, and it was at a university, and this young and very naive young man said, well, hate speech isn't free speech. And I cracked up laughing and said, that's exactly what it is. Hey, that's exactly what free speech is. It's hate speech. And who is speaking hate speech? The person that's speaking something that somebody else doesn't want to hear. So King George, if the colonists were talking bad about him, that was hate speech. If you talk bad about Pol Pot in Cambodia, that's hate speech. And right now in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, you know, if you talk bad about him, that's hate speech. But the Founding Fathers did not intend for that to be that way. What they intended was that a person was able to talk about what was important to him in public without fear of reprisal from government. And free speech is the only way that this republic can stand. Unless we are able to speak in public or in private the things that matter to us with the passion that is necessary to try to convince another person of how of what you believe to be in the best interest of your family or your community or your neighborhood or the state or the country. And when we start deciding what is proper, we are doing what they did a long time ago. In other words, what's proper speech? Now, there's politeness, and in the micro, I am a firm believer in politeness. In my home, in my relationships daily, I what I say in the micro. But in the macro, you know, where it concerns the country as a whole, my family's freedom, my family's standing in the country, there I demand that I be heard, regardless of whether other people like it or not. Okay? Because if I don't, if I'm not heard, then how can other people make decisions? And if I don't allow them to speak their mind and their piece and their view, how can I make better decisions? So this is about making better decisions for my life. How I vote, the things I allow into my community or don't allow, or I fight against in my community. If we don't have people speaking up and saying, I believe this is not good for Bridgeport, I don't believe this is not good for Texas, or I think this guy's a rat, and his the history of his politics shows he's a rat. If we can't speak like that, then we're going to go back to the same concept that kept us in darkness for so long. There was a word that was used by the Catholic Church at one time, and it went further back than that. It went back to the Israelites, and then the Catholic Church used that pretty much the same word. And then the Protestants took over Europe, and they used the same word to silence people who spoke, okay, things that they did not want other people to hear. And in order to silence them, they called them what? Calling a person a heretic, you could beat him, jail him, kill him, destroy his life, take his job from him. He was powerless. And all you had to do is call him a heretic. Okay? And it's changed over the centuries. One group would use it for a while, and the word might be a little bit different. Basically, the meaning thing. Okay? The Muslims they have their own little word that they use for us, you know. And gives them, in their minds, the freedom to do what they will with us. Well, today in modern day time, in our society, in the universities, in the schools, we have another word like heretic. And it's used for the same, to hush you up, to muzzle you, to keep you quiet. The media uses it. The everyday people on the streets that you meet, when they get uncomfortable with something you're saying, when you're talking about your conservative values or this and that, oh, he's a hater. It's the same thing as heretic. And the First Amendment recognizes nobody's concept of a heretic. Nobody's. In other words, nobody can say that guy is a heretic. The law has a right to do something about that. It doesn't recognize that. And it recognizes no sacred cows. There are no sacred cows in the First Amendment. In other words, everybody's a target. Everybody gets to get thrown in the dirty joke. Okay? And there are no sacred cows in the First Amendment. And that is necessary. That is necessary in order for us to be able to communicate with each other. And once we start muzzling each other in the macro, I'm not talking about in the micro. If I have a business and we don't cuss in my business, in my shop or my retail store, and I hire people there, I have a right to say, hey, we don't say those kind of words in here, okay? In the micro, I have right to say I don't want that here. But in the macro, who am I to tell somebody else what they can say?
Interesting points. You know, the thing that I notice is that, like you say, the people who might want to say something but don't, those people are making a conscious decision to be muzzled. And the fear that they have is a real fear, because the Department of Justice is not on our side, not with this administration. If you were just a little bit out of line, you could be under investigation. And these are the tactics of communists, of socialist countries, where they, you know, they use the fear of police tactics. Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes.
Go ahead. Yes.
Before I forget, one of my favorite quotes by Andrew Jackson: "One man, one brave man, to create a majority." Hitler could have been stopped if the first guy that he tried to intimidate punched him in the nose or just walked away from him. But he intimidated one man, and that man got intimidated another one and another one. And before too long, it was too late. You have to stand up now. You. And if you're afraid to lose your job, possessions, and your privileges, we're lost anyway. You know, Jesus said that what does it gaineth a man if he gains the world and he loses his soul in the process? What is it going to gain you if you get your pension, but your children are going to be not more than slaves in the next two generations? What have you gained for not speaking up?
Let me ask you this. If a person, you know, like take for example this shooter, the person in Oregon, he supposedly had a social media accounts, Facebook pages, and look like most of these guys do, they are obviously troubled, and people noticed, had taken note of them in the past, but they never said anything. Do you think it's the same fear that they don't want to be called anti-Islamic? Everyone is really concerned with tolerance. Tell me what you think of tolerance and free speech.
Well, the word tolerance is not the same thing as acceptance. A lot of people try to use them to mean the same thing. And acceptance means that you are okay with something being the way it was. In other words, you're okay with your neighbor painting his house purple. Okay? You're really okay. It's okay. You get out the front yard and you look at that purple house and that's okay. I can live with that. But tolerating, now that's a different story. Tolerating is when you really don't like something and you put up with it because it's forced down your throat. That's a different story. And there's some things that we can't change. We can't change that guy painting his house purple unless we belong to a homeowners association. Okay? But that has its price too. But tolerating, we are never told to tolerate evil in the scriptures. And you know, I told you when I first talked to you about coming on your show that I talked about the scriptures and I talked about Jesus. We are never told to tolerate evil. What Jesus said was to tolerate their ignorance because they didn't know any better. But there would come a time that they would know better and they wouldn't be held accountable. We all are going to be held accountable. And it is that fear. It's the fear that something is going to be taken away. And a lot of times it's not even that drastic. Sometimes it's a fear of looking uncool. You know what I'm saying? You remember when you were a young man? You know, I remember one time that, my youth has been a long time ago. But I remember one time when I was a young kid in my early teens. They invited me to go bowling, and I said, who wants, bowling, blew it off. But let me tell you the truth. The truth was I didn't know how to bowl. And instead of telling the truth and saying, hey, guys, I don't know how to bowl. Will you teach me how to bowl? A lot of times we're afraid to look uncool, so we put up with really bad behavior around us, and we're afraid to lose money that comes into the community for the school, or we're afraid to lose money that comes into the county for the roads or whatever, and we're afraid to lose money that comes from the feds for all these little programs that we have, you know? So we allow, push us around, lead us around by the nose. You know, the rights of the white people were denied in the South in order to keep the black people in slavery. You couldn't have kept the black people in slavery had you not deny the white people in the South their rights. And it was done by and local codes, laws. Okay? And now we have just the opposite. Now the people in the states are being denied their rights by federal statutes. So our freedom of speech is being denied us because the federal government says we can't say certain things. We don't have a right to say certain things. That's hate speech. That's ugly. Hate speech laws and hate laws are against everything the Constitution stands for. We are not to take into consideration a person's color, gender, or lack of gender, economic status, educational level, or any of those things. The government is only, the law is only to look at that individual and say, is he under the jurisdiction of this Constitution? That's it. Does this law apply to him? And if it does, that's what we're supposed to base it on, the law. Not the color of his skin, not his gender or lack of it, not any of those things. But we've gotten to where we're putting personalities before principles. And if you're afraid to say what is the truth in your heart, this country's doomed.
Now, what I want to do real quick, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but I want to read the First Amendment just to those who can't recall it. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So there's a lot of things wrapped up into the First Amendment. You've got religion. Yep. People consider that to be a separation of church and state. Right here it says that all people are to have their be able to establish their own religion and to exercise thereof. So I know that in this country, the majority of people are Christians, but that doesn't mean we can't have Muslims, Buddhists, and anyone else, or Wiccans, or atheists, for all that matter, all that goes.
Yeah, that's what the
you know, we could all live peaceably, but it seems to me this isn't working out well for us nowadays. We don't seem, like you said, there's some things we can't say. We can't say things that are common sense. That's just crazy. Natural conclusions that can be made by reading facts. We can't voice what those might be because they could be interpreted as racist. That is crazy. So I want to talk a little bit. We've got to take a quick break, and we're going to be back here in just 2 minutes. I'm going to say 2.5 minutes with Frank Flores. We're talking about First Amendment, and we'll be right back.
one disease. Millions of lives permanently disrupted. Today, there are over 5 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease. But Alzheimer's is taking more than memories. It's taking lives. What few realize is that Alzheimer's kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. And Alzheimer's is the only disease in the top 10 causes of death that can't be slowed, stopped, or prevented. From 2000 to 2013, while deaths from other diseases decreased significantly, Alzheimer's deaths increased 71%. But equally disturbing, many living with Alzheimer's say they are not being told their diagnosis. While more than 90% of people with the most common types of cancer say they are told their diagnosis, only 45% of people with Alzheimer's or their caregivers say they are told. The economic toll is staggering, too. In 2015, it will cost the nation $226 billion to care for people with Alzheimer's. By 2030, 72 million baby boomers will reach an age of greater risk. The fact is, everyone's at risk for Alzheimer's, even you. But everyone can help, especially you. We're the Alzheimer's Association, the brains behind saving yours. Join us.
All right. We're back. We've got about 7 minutes, Frank, to wrap up this segment here on the First Amendment. Why don't you, I know you've had a few minutes to think about how you want to continue this conversation. Tell me what's on your mind here. What message do you want to get across?
Well, you mentioned before the break about the freedom of religion and the non-establishment of a government religion. That's what it meant. There is no such phrasing in the Constitution as separation of church and state. It doesn't exist there. It was in a letter that was written by Jefferson. And it was never, it's not in the Constitution. The government just could not say everybody's going to be a Methodist. That's all. But if everybody was a Methodist, they could be in a whole state. And some states did make laws that you couldn't hold office unless you were of a certain religion. But in time, that was less and less. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. We can live together as different faiths, and we did for the longest time. We did live different faiths for the longest time, but there was a religion, and the word religion, I believe, at its root is to rely on, something that you rely on. The only thing is, there came a religion that only wanted it to be recognized. Religion was secularism. And it did not want any competition, and they can call themselves whatever they want to call themselves, but they are religious. They're fanatical religious nuts. They only want their religion, secularism, and other religions.
And you talk, those are the people that want to take down the Ten Commandments everywhere, and they want to, you know, try to strike God from the money, and et cetera, et cetera.
That's correct.
Secularists.
That's who they are.
Yeah.
And because they know that united together as a people in one idea, we are powerful. They cannot push us around, and they cannot own us. But they divided us. They divided us into classes, into religions, into this, into different groups. Once they divide you, you know what they say about dividing conquer. Even the scriptures say a house divided against itself cannot stand. We used to be Americans. We were Baptist Americans, Methodist Americans, Jewish Americans, Hindu Americans. whatever Americans, but we were Americans. And because of being Americans first, we were able to live in harmony with the other religions. And yes, we had our spats, but what family doesn't have its spats? But we worked them out. But now we got somebody agitating it. They want to say, you can't say that this group of people is A, B, and C. You can't say this, and you can't say that. And who gave them the authority to say that? If there is no freedom of speech, if this First Amendment doesn't mean anything, if we're no longer living under the Constitution, then let it be so and just say it. But don't use the Constitution to stand there and tell me that you've been given the authority and then tell me that the same Constitution gives you authority does not give me any rights when it states right there in front of my eyeballs.
No. Well, you're thinking, and you know, you're the enemy. You're a thinking enemy. And the anyone who opposes this socialist sort of a Democrat Party agenda, liberalism, progressivism, socialism, to me, they're just all wrapped up into one. And all of them, they have to eliminate our First Amendment. They have to, like you say, muzzle us in order for them to gain any traction. And so, you know, what do you say to people who, I mean, how do they exercise their free speech? What can they do in a practical way?
Well, I think that in a practical way, what we need to do is when people say, well, you can't do that, or you can't say that, and you ask, now, why is it that your view or their view is more important than mine? If you'll explain that to me, then I'll give up mine. But let me know, why does the abortionist view of life, why is his view of life any better than my concept of the importance of life?
Right. It's like the old phrase, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yes. And the thing about it is, unless you can show me, you know, that what you are stating as truth, unless you can show me where it cannot be denied by the average individual that comes upon it and says, oh yeah, that's you know, like you said, common sense, you know. You can cut off a rabbit's ears. You can sew a beak on his mouth, and you can make web feet of it, and you can call it a duck. But all it is a mutilated rabbit. And you can call whatever laws you want to make it, but if it doesn't hold up to the Constitution, it means nothing. And several times the Supreme Court has ruled. Dred Scott, Sanford, they were wrong there. They were wrong on separate but equal. They were wrong there too. And many times through the history of the Supreme Court, they have been wrong and had to go back and make another ruling on it.
Well, all right. They're not infallible. That's our show for tonight. That's all the time we have. We'll have to pick it up again. Here in the very near future, and we can do a part two. This is Duke Machado. You're listening to The Duke Machado Show every weeknight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Follow me on Facebook at The Duke Machado Show and on Twitter at Duke Machado 1. I'm out of here.